Hello, folks. It's Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon Live broadcast. And we thank you for all those who are tuning in and will be tuning in. And we got quite a broadcast for you this evening. And I have to apologize. I got a little bit of a late start, but we're still going to be doing this live. So I'd like to welcome any and all those to tune in and watch. We got quite a broadcast to present to you today. We're going to be taking a look at a numerical pattern that God has in His Word, and we're going to be taking a look at the number 4, and we're going to be taking a look at it in the book of Daniel, and we're going to be kind of seeing, and I'm going to show you just some things and some pretty cool things that God has put in His Word, and we're just going to just have fun in the Word of God tonight, amen? And so, now, before we begin with tonight's lesson, I wanted to just kind of be sure to mention Pastor Ron at Church of Many Blessings is having his homecoming. And I got to find the notes for this. Where is it? Here we go. Again, Pastor Ron's going to be having... Pastor Ron is going to be having his homecoming. And Pastor Ron is the pastor of Church of Many Blessings in Fredericktown, Missouri. And it's going to be... just some notes here. They will be having services Friday night at 7 p.m. They also will be having Saturday night at services at 7 p.m. They will also be having Sunday morning service at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. And dinner is on the church and dinner on the church in between Sunday services. They're going to be having the singers that they will have is Elmore's from West Plain, Missouri, the Harvilles from Gotham, Alabama, at the 11th and the 11th hour from Nashville, Tennessee. And if you want to know the address to the church, it's 217 East College Street, Fredericktown, Missouri. And if you guys can make it and able to make it, I would like to encourage you to go. Pastor Ron and his family will probably be more than happy to greet you and to see you there at his homecoming. And homecoming for them is going to be on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And that is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you guys can't make it, they're going to be streamlining their services. So if you can't make it, I'd like to encourage you guys on Facebook to watch the live streaming for their services, amen? And because they want the truth to get out as to as many people as they can. So if you're able to watch it, great. But if you're able to go, then praise the Lord, hallelujah, that they would be more, that they are always welcome to have you join them online or even at church, amen? Whatever the case might be. That was kind of a very short, sweet, and to the point. I didn't want to make it real lengthy, but something to just kind of keep in mind as the weekend is about to come upon us. We're almost at a halfway point in this week, and anyways, it's good to be here tonight. I'm sorry again. I had a little bit of a late start this evening, but we're still going to do this thing. And like I said, we're going to be talking about the number 4. And I'm not talking about numerology. I'm talking about a numerical pattern that God has in His Word. And we're going to be talking about the number 4. And so, to kind of just explain a little bit as to why, let's look in God's Word. And I'll just show you from Scripture why I'm going to be talking about, amen? So, if you have your King James Bibles with you, please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I got to find it here. See, Ecclesiastes. That would be what Solomon wrote. Ecclesiastes. All right. Just a little bit more. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 27. Okay, it says this. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. Now, the reason why I want to talk to you guys about the number four is because God wants you to count things to find out the account. He wants you to count things in His Word. Amen? And actually, if you count things in your Word, God will begin to show you things. And with that, you can actually gain a little wisdom from that. Amen? And actually, to prove that, if you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 13, and go all the way to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Revelation 13, 18. It says this, here is wisdom. Who here needs wisdom? I know I do. I need wisdom just as much as the next born-again believer. I lack wisdom in certain areas, and God says if you ask, you'll receive. Amen? So, but here's the thing. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now here's what's interesting. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. Okay? What day did God create man and beast? Think about that. What day did God create man and beast? He created man and beast on day six. Okay? Day six is when He created man and beast. So, but we see that, and His number is 666, which is 666. Three sixes. Six is the number for sin. Can be the number for sin. Man and beast. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Three sixes. And you got 18 here. It's in verse 18. You got 6 plus 6 plus 6. 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. 6 times 3 is 18. Amen? And so, that's just kind of a small little introduction. Kind of a very small introduction of what we're going to be getting into. We're not going to be talking about 6. We're going to be talking about the number 4. Okay? Now, the number 4, number 4. The number 4 in the biblical pattern, when God lays out His, when God has a numerical pattern, such as 4, okay? Usually there are going to be three the same. Three out of the four things are going to be similar, if not the same, and one's going to be different. I'll give you an example. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels, which means the way they are written are very similar, okay? But then you also have John, okay? That's written a little bit differently, but it still has the account of what Jesus said and did. Amen? Anyways, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the similar ones, and John is the different one. Okay? So, with that said, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Daniel. And there's actually a couple of examples I kind of want to breeze by. I really have a lot of information to go through, but there are some things I want to show you about the numerical pattern of four. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Okay, I believe it's Daniel chapter 2. And the first thing I want to kind of just really quickly go through, I'm going to first find it. Where is it? That was Daniel chapter 2. I know it was. Let's see. Here we go. We're going to start in verse 31. It says, "Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was called excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part clay." Amen? Now, here's what we see here. We see there are four different things, and iron mixed with miry clay. Now, I want to bring this up too. It's really interesting that there are three of these that are similar and one's different. Okay? Silver, the gold, silver, and brass are all metals. Okay? That is, these three are is very similar. The fourth one is the feet of iron mixed with clay. This is different because it's little shards, it's little pieces of iron that's mingled in with clay. So we see here that the feet are the oddball ones because it's not pure, it's not just flat out all metal. It's metal mixed with clay. But you realize that when you look down the statue of this statue, it goes from valuable to less valuable. Okay? So that means with this there's four kings and four kingdoms. Okay, now, with that said, when you look at this, the first three kingdoms are earthly kingdoms. Okay, they're the same. Why? Because they're earthly kingdoms. But the fourth kingdom is not earthly. The fourth kingdom, Daniel's fourth kingdom, is a satanic, Luciferian, occultic kingdom that is going to merge itself on earth. And that kingdom is not of this earth. It's a spiritual kingdom. But this spiritual kingdom is led up by Lucifer. Is led up by Satan. Amen? Now, with that, if you can turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 25. Okay? "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. because they refused to serve this gigantic idol that Nebuchadnezzar put up. So Nebuchadnezzar had them thrown into a fire. Okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the same because it's three men. Three men that have a sin nature. Okay? However, there was a fourth. That fourth was different. Because that fourth was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh. And he delivered the first. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? So, with that said, that's just a little bit of a, that's just a couple examples of what I'm talking about. I want to get into, now we're going to get into what I, now we're going to get into these four kings. Now, a little background, a couple years ago, about, I don't know how long, it's been such a long time since I've actually done this. I'd say maybe about 3-4 years ago, I was reading the book of Daniel and came to realize that there are actually, there are four kings mentioned in the book of Daniel. And I'm going to read them to you, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus, okay? Now, following the kind of a, kind of following the pattern of this numerical pattern of four, three of these, there must be three of these kings must have something in common, but one is an oddball king. Okay? And so, here is kind of what I'm putting forth. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to try to back this up with scripture and present to you a case. There are three kings, three of these kings that I mentioned believed in God. Okay? Now, when I say that, I believe that three of these kings are in heaven. Okay? One of them is not a believer and ended up in hell. Okay? So, with that said, I just kind of want to go through and show you guys which is which. Okay? First king we're going to talk about, Nebuchadnezzar. According to what I researched, Nebuchadnezzar believed in God. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. He was a pagan, he was an idol worshiper, but he eventually came to believing God. Okay? Now, the first thing is we see that God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Okay? In Jeremiah 25:9, it says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing, in a perpetual desolation." Okay? In Jeremiah 27:6, it says, "And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him." In Jeremiah 43:10, it says, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them." Okay? So we see that God calls him his servant. Okay? Secondly, that we see that the Bible says, you know, God won't do anything till he shows his servants the prophets. Okay? Amos 3:7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Daniel chapter 2 verse 3. It says, "And the king said unto him, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." And Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, "For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut without of the mountain without hands, then it had broken the pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." I believe that Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar eventually came to know God. And by the way, God showed Nebuchadnezzar a dream of what is to come in our days. There's a fourth coming. There's a fourth kingdom coming. And this kingdom is not of this earth. This kingdom is a spiritual Luciferian kingdom that is going to merge itself with planet Earth, headed up by Satan, the Antichrist. And God showed Nebuchadnezzar in a dream what is to come. And by the way, God also showed Nebuchadnezzar the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's pretty cool. Now, so as we see that God did show Nebuchadnezzar what was to come in our days, the end times. We are in the last days. Amen? Now, lastly, we see that three times Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges and believes in God, as well as makes a decree about it. What's interesting is that we see that he acknowledges God three times Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges God and eventually makes a decree about it. Okay, let's see that in scripture. Daniel chapter 2 verse 47. "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Daniel 3:28-29, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speaketh anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." We see that Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. He made a decree that said, "You're not to speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." You know who that is? That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting excited here. We gotta get excited for the Word of God. Amen. Woo, boy. All right, Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." As we see that there are three times that Nebuchadnezzar had acknowledged God. So, Nebuchadnezzar believed in God. And therefore, because of what I read, I sincerely believe that he is in heaven. Amen? Now, his son, Belshazzar, didn't believe in God. Daniel chapter 5, verses 22-23. "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods," little g, the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all thy ways hast thou not glorified. You see, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, decides to worship false gods. And by the way, because he did that, another set of people came in and killed him. And, like, took him out. He didn't repent. I believe that Belshazzar is in hell because of what he did. Okay? Now, Daniel 5:30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And by the way, it was Darius and his men that came into Babylon to take it over. Okay? And it's interesting because Darius is the next person we're going to talk about. I believe that Darius believed in God. And because of that, I believe that Darius is in heaven. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel 6:20. It says, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" So we see that Darius cries out to Daniel, because Daniel's in the lion's den at this time. Okay? And Darius had such compassion. And he and Daniel were like close friends. They were like brothers. And Darius calls out for Daniel. And Darius calls Daniel the servant of the living God. So as we see here, is that Darius acknowledged that God is the living God. Amen? And Daniel 6:20-26. It says, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God." Amen. Praise the Lord. There is one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. "And steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end." So we see that Nebuchadnezzar and Darius are two kings that loved God and believed on God. Belshazzar did not. Belshazzar's in hell. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius are in heaven. Last king, Cyrus. King Cyrus. I believe he believed in God. Okay? Turn with me to Isaiah 45:1. Isaiah 45:1. It says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two left gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Isaiah 44:28. "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Now, if you want to know what Cyrus did, so after the Babylonian captivity, Cyrus was the one who told the Jews to go back to their land, and he gave them permission to rebuild their temple. And by the way, Cyrus was indeed prophesied many years before all this. And he was prophesied by name. And by the way, if that's not proof that God wrote and ordained his book by holy men of God, I don't know what is. But that shows you that the Word of God, your King James Bible, is the inspired and preserved Word of God. Amen? Man, I just want to stay on here all night and preach. I wish I could, but you know, I gotta sleep too, and you know, I gotta get some rest as well. But anyways, turn with me to Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven had given me all the kingdom of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 to 23, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it in his word, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Now, as we see that there is three kings that are the same because they believed in God. And these three are Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And there is one that is different because he believed not God, and that is Belshazzar. So, here's the thing about numerical patterns in God's Word. I believe God wants you to count things in His Word. And I'm going to tell you something. God will show you some interesting things in His Word. If you count things in His Word, and a lot of times when you see a numerical pattern of four, there's going to be three that's going to be the same or similar. One is going to be different. And like I said at the very beginning, towards the beginning of this program, is you take the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic Gospels. And it's because when you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are written very similar, very similar. But when you look in John, that's the fourth Gospel, it's written a little bit differently. Amen? So, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to count things in the Bible. That's how we get wisdom, according to Revelation 13:18. Here's wisdom. Let him count the number of the beast, which is the number of man. Okay? Let him count to find the account. Amen? Don't be afraid to count things. Now, I'm not talking about numerology. What I am talking about is that God does have numeric patterns in His Word. And the more and more numeric patterns that you find in His Word, the more and more God will open your eyes to seeing that His Word is true. That His Word is what, I mean, He ordained His Word. He perfected His Word. He kept His Word. Now, a lot of people will argue that, well, they didn't have numbers and all these verses when they wrote out all these manuscripts. See, that's true. When the holy men of God spake and wrote his stuff down. You see, there was no numbers, there was no chapters. But I believe that when everything was being put together, when the whole Bible was getting put together, and over time, when you have the translators, when the numbers and chapters started making their way into it, I believe that God had ordained a special place for each and every single number and every single chapter to show you that His Word is good. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you to, count things in the Bible. To be very amazed at what you find in the Bible. Now, we mentioned, towards the beginning, we mentioned the number six. Okay, now the number six, God created man and beast on day six. Okay? Six, I believe, maybe I'm wrong, is a number for sin. And when you take a look at 666, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's three. Three sixes. And it's interesting because you'll find, the mark of the number of the beast in Revelation 13, 18. 18 is 6 plus 6 plus 6. But also, too, 6 can also be a number for preparation. Okay? Peter, and when you read Peter's epistle, I can't remember if it was first or second, but he talks about in the days that the ark was preparing. When was the ark prepared? Genesis chapter 6. Now, I say that 6 is also sin and wickedness. You know why? Because it was also in Genesis 6 that there was sin and wickedness. So there's numerous different meanings for numbers. And when you take a look at, what's another one? 13, okay? Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. When you read that title in Revelation, there's 13. 13 is the number for backwards love, perverted love. But on the same token, when you take a look at God's side of things, it could also mean God's love. Because you have Jesus Christ surrounded by His 12 apostles. 12 and 1 is 13. Amen? So anyways, I just want to encourage you to look into this stuff. And by the way, I don't want you taking my word for it. As a matter of fact, I don't want you taking my word for it. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want you all to be good Bereans and search the scriptures and find this out yourselves. I don't want you taking my word for it. I'd rather have you search it out to see if I'm telling the truth. I've always said, if I'm lying, let God chastise me for it. But if I'm telling the truth, let Him show you what I'm talking about. Amen? Well, anyways, it was great to be here this evening. And I know I got a bit of a late start tonight, but I got through what I wanted to get through tonight. And I love you guys. And I really appreciate all those who tune in, and I appreciate the support. And, it's always good to see brothers and sisters come together and reason together. Amen. So anyways, this is Pastor Brandon going to be signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You have a fantastic Tuesday evening. We'll probably reconvene again with Pastor Brandon live again, probably Friday. If God willing, it'll be Friday. I'm not sure, but till next time, this is Pastor Brandon. God bless you. I love you. You guys have a great night. And till next time, think Bible. God bless you guys. Love you. Bye.